This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show, and then it's time for Thanksgiving, where we will be enjoying a bunch of things that aren't turkey. Anyway, we have a bunch of Ask Dr. Jesse questions to get to this hour, and it's going to be everything from Napoleon to socialism versus communism to other things. We'll even get to some voicemails.
Hey, Jesse. Hey, it's Tom from Indiana. Hey, I just want to throw out a concern that I'm having and that I'm seeing around here. There's a lot of Democrats are keeping their views, but their Democratic politicians are keeping their views and not changing anything, but are switching over to the Republican Party to win races in the Republican Party. I just want to throw that out there and see what your thoughts are about that.
Yeah, it's a huge problem, and you'd be stunned, absolutely stunned, if you realized how pervasive this problem is in the reddest states. You see, remember, it was a while back, and it didn't get a lot of play because Wyoming is not a huge state. I love Wyoming. It's not a huge state. It's not a powerful state, you know, nationally. It's one of the least populated states we have, if not the least. It's way down there. I forget. It's way down there. Anyway, but it wasn't long ago, and Wyoming, their state legislature shot down a bill. I think it was men and women's sports, one of these tranny sports bills. And everybody kind of looked around and said, wait, what? Because demographically, Wyoming is one of the reddest states in the United States of America. And everyone kind of said, hold on, the entire legislature, they're all Republican. I don't understand. How could this happen? Well, here's how it happens. And it's something we have to guard against a lot. When either you're in a red state, or like right now, the national mood is very anti-Democrat. They've really, really, the country itself has soured on Democrats because they're so evil. I know it's a wonderful time. It doesn't last forever, but right now it's wonderful. But in these red states, you will get Democrats who run as Republicans. And people don't generally find them out because most voters are low information voters. They're not like you. And so let's say I'm a Democrat, which of course you know better, but let's say I'm a Democrat and I'm in Wyoming and I want to run and win a race. I, of course, will talk, walk, and act like a Republican. And on most issues, I will vote like a Republican. I can't only act like a Republican when I'm running for office and then govern like a Democrat. But when a big one comes down, when a big one comes down that's really, really important for the communists to win, I will toss that vote and vote like the Democrat I am. And Democrats know this game across the country. Across the country. You see it in red states all over the place. They get the game. And there are Republicans in the United States Senate that are never opposed that much by Democrats because that's how they do it. They know, yeah, he's going to vote like a Republican on this and that, and he'll confirm most of Trump's nominees. But when there's a really, really reformer in there, when there's a big reformer in there, when there's one who really might hurt us, we know he's going to step in and he'll be on our side. We always have to be vigilant for the fact that people will lie to get our votes. They will. They will. Dear tyrannical Jesse, if Jewish producer Chris converted to Christianity, would you let him have his own microphone for a few seconds here and there to prove to everyone he actually exists and isn't a figment of your imagination? I believe you, Hefe, but not everyone does. If Chris converted to... No, he would have to ask Jesus for a microphone. Jesse, after spending 12 years in Commie, Colorado, we have to put our home up for sale... Or we have put our home up for sale. My wife, daughter, and I decided to move to Montana. I'm not going to say where they're moving. He says it in here. It's a beautiful place, I should note. Would you ever move back to Montana, or is Texas your forever home? Love the show. Happy Thanksgiving. Sorry to hear about your father's passing. My dad passed 2 weeks before I got married 13 years ago, and Thanksgiving was his favorite holiday. Yeah, like I told you last night, I'm not looking forward to Thanksgiving for the first time ever. You know, it's just going to be hard without him there. But you know what else? I probably messed my kids up for life. You know what my boys told Ob? I did not realize I was this cold and emotionally closed off. They'd never seen me cry before in their lives until my dad died. I've never shed a tear in front of my sons. Gosh, I am a freaking barbarian. That's terrible. That's terrible. Not even when I watched Rudy or something? They'd never seen that before? That's freaking awful. Anyway, no, I would move back to Montana. I would. The thing about Montana is really the Rocky Mountains themselves. Because I grew up there, remember I moved to Montana when I was 10. I love them, the beauty of them, the cleanness of the air. It's a healthier environment because you're always outside doing something. You're hiking, you're fishing, you're outside. It's healthier. It is harder, though, on older people. That's something my old man would talk about all the time. He was just such a hard worker. He was a lifetime construction guy. And ever since he retired, he would still just work. He would work, he'd pound fence posts. He was just always outside. He's just a very physical human being. I learned my work ethic from my father. And he would talk to me about how it started to hurt more. The cold of Montana started to hurt more. Now, when I grew up, when I lived in Montana, I was a young man, 10 feet tall and bulletproof. When it's 10 below, it's brutal. Don't get me wrong. There's no such thing as a fun 10 below. But you throw on some long johns, extra winter coat, get something to cover up your ears, and then you go on and about, and you spend your day flicking your buddies in the ears whenever they take off their stocking cap. What? It's Chris. It's good fun. It's good fun. But when you get older, being in those super cold environments is harder. It was harder as you got older. I used to tell him all the time, Dad, why are you still in Montana? He loved it too much. He would never leave. But 70-year-olds don't retire in Montana because it friggin' hurts, right? The cold hurts when you're younger. When you're that age, it really hurts. So I don't know if, you know, I would retire there one day. I don't know that Texas is forever either. I love Texas. Remember, I moved to Texas on purpose. I moved to Texas without a job. What was that, 10 years ago? Probably more than 10 years ago now. I didn't even have a job. I was driving across the country with Ob and the boys, and I was just looking for work, trying to find a way to feed my family, and I didn't find anything, and we just decided to up and move to Dallas, or the Dallas area. We were up in Frisco, Texas. We just decided to move to Dallas on a whim because we love Texas, the people so much. So I love Texas. I love Montana, but I love a lot of places. People give me a lot of crap because I always talk about the places I love. I've lived in so many places in this country and traveled to so many places. I love a lot of them for different reasons. I do. Look, I love California. I'm not going to live there because I'm not going to live in a place where I feel like I'd be thrown in jail for things by these dirty commies. That's what they'll do. But I love California. I don't love Arizona, so I don't say I love everywhere. I will not go back to the desert. I'm done with the desert. I love Tennessee. I could live in Tennessee. I love Tennessee. Really, anywhere in the South. Alabama is one of my favorite states. Most underrated state is Alabama. Florida, but it's so freaking expensive now. Georgia. I love Georgia. But I like the Northeast. I'll be honest. You're going to think I'm crazy? Ob and I have talked about it before. I'll never do it because of the gun laws, but if we ever got really rich or something like that, we don't have second home. We don't have a second home. We don't have boats. That's not really our thing. We're not kind of those people, just very simple people. I could get an apartment in New York City. That's how much I love New York City. Yeah, Chris, I'm not going to do it because of the gun laws. Don't get me wrong, but I dream about it when I'm there. And oh, upstate New York? Oh, upstate New York is so freaking awesome. But again, you're stuck in New York with the taxes and the gun laws and the way those dirt balls are. It's just, I love the state. I don't like the policies. So I like a lot of different places. I love the Dakotas. I used to go pheasant hunting in the Dakotas and antelope hunting with my old man in the Dakotas. Wisconsin is good. I really like Wisconsin. What, Chris? Why are you dumping on Wisconsin? Have you ever even been to Wisconsin? What? What's wrong with Wisconsin? The food sucks? You're out of your mind. It's the cheese capital of the country. The food sucks. Wisconsin has some of the best food out there, and it's hearty food because it's a cold place. That's why a lot more people are fat in Wisconsin, because they know how to eat. And the cheese is amazing. You got to go where the fat people are if you want to have good food. You go to Southern California, everyone looks like a freaking model. You can't get a decent meal there. You got, yeah, exactly right. Houston, where everyone's waddling around like a manatee, this is where you get some really good food. What, Chris? I'm being nice. It's true. Anyway, the difference between socialism and communism and Napoleon. Next.
Missed out? Catch up. JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Of course, it's an Ask Dr. Jesse Wednesday, and you can email anything you want, love, hate, death threats, to Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Couple quick news items. Ken Paxton, Attorney General of Texas, is suing BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard for, quote, illegally conspiring to manipulate energy markets, driving up the costs for consumers. Gosh, I love our attorney general. That is exactly what you need out of red state AGs. Another one, lame duck Biden administration loans $6.6 billion to struggling Tesla rival Rivian. Again, it's just all about looting the treasury. These people, all of them, they get there and they spend every waking moment thinking about how to bloodsuck money out of your wallet and handing it to their friends. Another loan that will, of course, get forgiven, of course. And Yale University hosts Transgiving. Remember those institutions? Communists taking them over. And they think they can just do whatever they want, operate them however they want to operate them, and that the reputation will last. It will not. It will not. And these higher education universities are slowly but surely going to find that out. Jesse, I'm dating an immigrant from a formerly communist country. We talk about different systems of government. He seems to think the United States of America is more socialist than communist, and I'm struggling with explaining. When I explain it, it comes across like a distinction without a difference. I'm going to give him my copy of the Anti-Communist Manifesto, available at jessekellybook.com. But aside from that, what advice can you give? Well, I would give you this advice. It is a distinction without a difference. Socialism and communism, they're practically the same thing. Socialism leads to communism. Remember what we talked about earlier about how all communists view the problem whenever they're rejected, whenever people oppose them. They just view it as a messaging problem. Either the people are too stupid, I haven't controlled enough of the information. They never think the problem is them. But they have always understood, always, that what they're selling, people aren't going to want. They know that. They are perfectly aware of how destructive and evil and horrible their religion is. They just think in the end it will work out for the best, so they're going to push it no matter what. Because they know that, they're constantly trying to come up with ways to manipulate people or ease people into it. If I'm trying to sell you on getting a root canal, let's say I'm a dentist. Doc, it is Dr. Jesse today, after all. What, Chris? Let's say I'm a dentist. And I'm trying to talk you into getting a root canal you don't need. Well, I'm not going to just tell you, hey, let me start tearing into your gums and rip your mouth apart. That sounds like fun, right? I'll first try to get you into the office. Hey, I don't know if you heard, we have free Sour Patch Kids at the dentist office, and we're ordering some extra Little Caesars today. Got some stuffed crazy bread with your name on it. Maybe come by the office. And then once I get you in there, remember, all this is nefarious. Once I get you in there, have you felt how comfortable our new dentist chairs are? Come on back. Let Dr. Jesse show you. And come on, just sit here. You know what? As long as you're sitting in the chair, why don't you just kind of let me look? I don't want to. Everything is a manipulation. When it comes to socialism versus communism, it's not really a difference, except socialism is the first stop. The communist can't sell you. It's virtually impossible to sell you on communism because even on paper, it's freaking horrific. absolutely horrific in every way. He can't sell you that. And he knows he can't sell you that. So instead, it's just a little socialism. It's a little, it's just kind of a new government program. Okay, we're not going to take over this industry. This is socialism versus communism. No, we don't want the government to take over the industry. We're just kind of manage it a little bit, you see? It's just kind of easy. You know, just kind of slipping it in there slowly. Never mind. Historical oracle. If Napoleon didn't sell the Louisiana Territory, would the French still have it today? Would it have been a country? Would we have had to fight a war to get it? I don't know why I'm thinking about this. I do, because you're awesome. That's the kind of stuff I think about all the time. We would have had to fight over it. They had to sell us the Louisiana Territory because Napoleon was over there doing Napoleon things. But the Louisiana Territory was huge, enormous, a significant part of the United States of America. Well, people forget how much of the country the English and the Spanish and the French had when we got here. A huge portion of it. And it took a long time and a couple wars to get them out. In fact, a few wars. When you talk about Mexico and everything else, you have to conquer land. People aren't going to hand you valuable land historically. If you want it, you have to go take it. Period. Now, that's mean. That's life. That's how the world works. If there is a valuable piece of land, you have to take it. If Napoleon didn't need the money so bad that he had to sell us the Louisiana Territory, at some point in time, we were never going to allow the French to own land like that of that significance right by us. It's just not something we were going to do. We'd have had to fight over it. And I don't know that we would have wanted to fight Napoleon, I'll tell you that much, because that dude was a war-fighting beast. What, Chris? Well, yes, he overextended. Everyone does when they go into Russia. Those dirty Russians know how to do it. That General Winter, as they call it. Napoleon's guys just needed some more chalk. The Grand Army, maybe they would have succeeded with their Russian invasion if they'd all been on male vitality stacks from chalk. You see, it's not just about your testosterone levels. Your testosterone levels lead to other things like energy. Do you lack the energy to kill and eat your horse so you don't starve to death? That's because your T levels are too low. So you need to get on some natural herbal supplements from chalk just in case you have to invade Russia. Natural herbal supplements. Male vitality stack is what I take every day. They have female vitality stacks for the ladies. They have chocolate powder. They have Chad mode. It's their pre-workout. You want to get revved up for your workout? A little Chad mode will do you wonders. Go to chalk.com. chok.com. And use the code Jesse to unlock a massive discount on subscriptions. Not descriptions. I don't think they're discounting those. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. Now, let's talk about gambling. Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Of course, it's an Ask Dr. Jesse Wednesday. You can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, you ever find yourself in a situation where you gambled away all the money to smooth it over the wife? You just tell her you went to roulette and bet it all on her birthday? No, and I don't think that she'd be okay with that, although I appreciate that. But remember, I have gambled away all my money before, every dime. I've told you this story before. I'll tell you again real quick. So I'm a young Marine. I'm 20, I believe. And so I'm not old enough. You have to be 21, or at least at the time, you had to be 21 to gamble at the tables in Las Vegas. 29 Palms in California. Vegas wasn't right around the corner, but if you had a 72 or a 96, or if you had a 3 or 4 day weekend, it's close enough. So we'd go over there and make trouble. Got my hands on a fake ID. Kids, don't do this. All right. What, Chris? All right. I had the ability to acquire things. All right. I got my hands on a fake ID and went over to Las Vegas for the very first time. I have no money. Remember, I didn't come from money. We were a construction family. My parents didn't make any money till after I joined the Marines, and they started a business and all that other stuff. So I didn't have any money. No money. Had a horrible car. You're not making any money as a young Marine anyway. And I had $600 in the bank. $600. And I walked into the casino for the first time, and I sat down to play blackjack. It was my buddies had taught me how to play, kind of, but they said it's easy, whatever. So I sit down, and the dealer, it was a sweet old lady. I still remember what she looks like, just this sweet old lady. She had pity on me because I clearly didn't know what I was doing. Oh, hit me. This, and I had no idea what I was doing. So she, I don't know how she got away with it. She essentially just coached me the whole time. No, no, don't hit that. Nope, stop there. And I walked away. I think it was $120 richer. Now, maybe that's a lot of money to you. Maybe it's not a lot of money to you. But I will tell you, for 20-year-old Jesse, I was basically Bill Gates in that moment with $120 extra dollars. $121 or something. I forget the number now. But I thought, this gambling thing is freaking easy. This is amazing. You just sit down and you just make money. And I'm convinced to this day that God uses my unending stupidity to teach me valuable lessons. And he often does so through pain, because that's what stupid Jesse needs. He needs to feel pain before he will wake up. So on this day, I kept gambling all night. And of course, you know how it goes. You've seen the movies. Either you've done it yourself. You know how it goes. The first one was so easy, $120. I'm so rich. But then you're losing, and you start to lose a little more and lose a little more. And soon you've actually lost all the money you'd made already. But it's no big deal, because of course you're just going to double down on the next hand, and you'll bet more, and then you'll win it all back again. Of course, it was so easy the first time. Of course, it'll get easy. But then, of course, you lose all that money too. And there's one thing they provide you without question in Las Vegas, and that's ATM machines. Then, of course, young Jesse, now I've lost all the money I had made, and then I lost all the money I'd started out with, which I think was like $40. I didn't have any money. But I just kept going to the ATM machine and withdrawing money and withdrawing money and withdrawing money. And by the time the next morning rolled around, I had not slept. The sun had come up. My buddies weren't quite ready to go yet because they were still having fun. And I had lost the last dollar I had. I walked into Las Vegas with $600 and a fake ID, and I lost every single dime of it. And I went out. I couldn't even bear to be in the casino anymore. I was so embarrassed at myself. I was so ashamed with myself. I knew that I didn't even have the heart to call my dad and tell him, because I knew how that conversation was going to go. I was just embarrassed and ashamed beyond belief, and it was hot, and I didn't even have my buddy's keys, but I went out and just sat by his car and just roasted in the Las Vegas desert, so sick to my stomach, just so sick with embarrassment and anger that I almost vomited. That's how disgusted with myself I was. Yeah, I need pain, apparently, in order to learn lessons. I need pain. Anyway, Jesse, like you, I'm a firm believer in the social shame system. Now that Tren de Aragua has burgled Travis Kelce's house, will you ride by it with me to say you voted for this? Yeah, look, I think it's important to continue to remind the Democrat voter in your life. When they complain about crime, when they complain about Tren de Aragua, when they complain about this, it's important to remind them they voted for this, because the American communist does this all the time. They divorce themselves. They find a way to divorce themselves from what they themselves have done. I see it over and over and over again. Oh my gosh, I can't believe all the violent crime in the city. Who'd you vote for? Every Democrat, every time. Oh, so you voted for the George Soros prosecutor who believes in more violent crime? And now you're shocked there's violent. Well, no, that's not what I... No, it is. It is. Jesse, when do I start talking about the Anti-Communist Manifesto at dinner? It's one of my favorite books. I have an alleged autographed copy. Judging by the tiny signature, I think it's authentic. That's not very nice. His name is Sal. Listen, that should be a central theme for everyone this year at Thanksgiving. Gather with family, say a prayer of thanks to God for all of your blessings, and then instead of talking about your love for each other and things like that, talk about the Anti-Communist Manifesto, which is available at jessekellybook.com. It's such an incredible, uniting book, dear Menu Whisperer. This morning I woke up, looked at Zero Hedge, and saw a glorious headline. Walmart is nuking the DEI program and swapping it for MEI, Merit, Excellence, and Intelligence. Welcome home, Walmart. Well, this was a mistake that we made forever on the right. Forever, the right thought you could live and let live your way out of communism. Forever we had that. I can't count how many times I've seen someone on the right say, I don't do boycotts. We're not like them. Well, if you don't participate, if you're going to separate yourself from the fight, I don't do boycotts. Well, then these big corporations, they're always going to follow the path of least resistance. And for years and years and years, if you're at a big corporation like Walmart or Bud Light or any of these things, and you have to make a decision, hey, guys, someone suggested we do a big rainbow display this year. We'll put on a bunch of tranny kids stuff and stuff like that. If we do this, are we going to get any pushback from the right? Because if we don't do this, we know the demons on the left, they're going to come for us. They'll call us homophobic and they'll be protesting. But if we do this, are any of the normal people on the right, are they going to punish us for this? And for years and years and years, that answer was no. And they knew it in corporate boardrooms. They knew they could get away with pushing the most putrid communist crap. And the right would, well, I don't do boycotts. I don't want to be like them. And we started to develop teeth. Robbie Starbuck is my buddy. He does this all the time. He goes after these corporations, and he's done it so many times now. When they find out he's investigating them, they will change their policies just so he doesn't blast them publicly. Hey, we're sorry. We're dropping all that. You've got to attack communism. You cannot live and let live your way out of communism. It does not work that way. It's an aggressive, demonic religion of aggression. It must be handled with aggression. One more segment. Hang on.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thanksgiving Eve. I hope, before we finish up with these Ask Dr. Jesse emails, I hope you will treasure your time with family this Thanksgiving. I am not going to get sappy on you right now because of my dad, but remember, you never know which one might be your last one with that family member, with your mom who can get annoying, with your dad, who whatever it may be. You never know which one may be your last one. Treasure your time with your family. Hold on to it because none of us last forever, right? We come and we go. Also, remember to pray and be thankful to God about blessings in your life. And I know it may have been a brutal year, a brutal season for you. Maybe you have cancer. Maybe you lost a loved one, lost your job. Maybe you're going bankrupt. Maybe you lost your girlfriend, your boyfriend. Maybe it's been a season where you have been kicked around. You still have things to be grateful for. And if you can't think of any of those things, you just need to look more. We all have blessings. We have so much to be thankful for. Make sure you bow your head as a family and pray and thank God for those blessings. It's really, really important to be thankful, all right? All right, let's do a few more of these before we check out.
And now,
wait, I'm going to do one more voicemail.
Got a question. All this talk about our border. Mexico's been fighting an undeclared war against us for many years now, having illegals come through our southern border, sending drugs across, and being run by cartels. When we send the people back to their host countries, why don't we take them
at various places across, you know, along the border, and put them back into Mexico and let Mexico get them home and deal with the problem that they have caused for us.
It's not a ridiculous suggestion at all. It just doesn't work out that way internationally. And it's because we feel a burden for things. We will feel the burden more than Mexico would. So here's what would happen. One, you may not like Mexico, and it's understandable because their government is so corrupt and things like that. I personally, I love Mexico. I've told you that before. I love the people. I love the food. I love the music. I like Mexicans. I always have. Really, Latin America in general, I've liked it. I've enjoyed it a lot. I like that it's a more masculine culture. I like it. I do. I enjoy it. But let's always understand we still have to maintain a relationship with Mexico. And what would happen if, let's say, we gathered up 100 people and we just drove across the border and we dropped them there, said, hey, Mexico, what's your problem? You know what the Mexicans would do? They'd freaking leave them there. They would. They would. They'd leave them there. Well, I'm not taking care of them either. And they'd all just die. Now, maybe you're shrugging your shoulders and saying, I don't care. Well, the international outrage that would cause it was, it's hard to deport people without cooperation of the place you deport them to. It's one of the things about mass deportation that people aren't thinking about. And it looks like, it sounds like Trump is going forward with this, and I love it. And it sounds like they're going to try to do it, and that's wonderful. But there's a problem, remember. Democrats took over and told the world, we were the new open sewer. Take whatever dumps, whatever dregs in your society and dump them onto American soil. Lots of the people who are here were ejected from their home country because they weren't wanted. And their home country doesn't want them back. It's not a bunch of stable, successful people who hop in a migrant caravan and trek across Panama trying to get into the United States of America. It's just not. It's people with disastrous home lives, poverty, crime, and countries view those people as a negative, as a burden. And so when Democrats open up the country, they happily send the dregs of their society over here. It's one of Trump's problem with Bukele, the head of El Salvador. You know how Trump and him, there's friction there. Part of the reason there's friction there is very justifiable. Trump says, hey, yeah, you locked up a lot of your criminals. You also sent a lot of them here. It made it better for you. Well, they don't want them back. And how do you make them take them? Now, with Mexico, we have more leverage because Mexico needs us. With Canada, we have more leverage because Canada needs us. And I realize on a more extended level, all these countries need us somewhat. But you take a country like Venezuela. Venezuela sent the prison gang, Tren de Aragua, here. They are now just running wild in this country. But we do not have a good relationship, to put it mildly, with Venezuela. Venezuela is our enemy, very much so. They're doing military drills with the Ruskies, and Venezuela is our enemy. How are you going to get Venezuela to take them back? Now, when it comes to Tren de Aragua, drop them out of a plane for all I care, parachute or not, but you've got to send them back to Venezuela. How do you get them into Venezuela? You can't put them on a bus. How are you going to get them into Venezuela? Again, it's a problem. The Venezuela's not going to put their hand up and say, hey, Jesse, I really want that prison gang back. So you're going to have to threaten them. You're going to have to threaten and or bribe a bunch of people to take back the dregs they dumped onto the United States of America. It's a mass deportation. Everyone's saying the right things now, and I'm happy they are. Don't get me wrong. Mass deportation is an ugly, ugly bit of business, and it's going to take some unpacking. All right, now, I love you.
I love you back.
You go enjoy Thanksgiving. Be thankful. soak up time with your family, play board games, don't chafe against your father and mother, enjoy your time with them, and we will reconvene on Monday. I'll be back here, all right? That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.